Good morning to you. Oh, it is so good to see you. I just have to do something for my wife. Sorry. Is that better? Okay. Well, I'm excited to share with you. It's been a few weeks since I have been up here speaking, but could we just give it up for Pastor Jen and Pastor Rose the last couple weeks? Speaking on Hope Revived and Known by Your Fruit, excellent messages. Please go back and listen. We are concluding and beginning kind of a series. So we have been in a series from promise to fulfillment, looking at promises in the Old Testament that are fulfilled in the New Testament. And our Christmas theme is actually along those same lines, except we're arriving at this place where that promised presence, that fulfillment that has been prophesied throughout the Old Testament, it comes true in this season that we celebrate in Christmas, that Jesus Christ is born, Emmanuel, God with us, which is the promised presence of God throughout the Old Testament that we see in the New Testament and also in our own lives. So why don't we stand, and I want to pray for us as a church, and I want to pray for three things. I want us to pray for the person standing next to us, to our left and to our right, even if we don't know them, and even if we don't like them. No, I'm just kidding. We want to pray for them, just that the Lord would be present with them. Secondly, I'd like to pray for the churches in our community. And thirdly, I'd like you to pray for me. And so let's pray for our neighbor to our left and right. Father, I pray for the person standing next to me right now that you would bless them, Lord, that you would fill them with your peace, Lord, that you would help them to hear the word, to receive from you this morning something new and something fresh, Lord, that they need, God. I pray, Lord, for them to receive wisdom and knowledge and understanding this morning. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. And Father, we pray now for the churches in our community. We continue to intercede for Pastor John Hawes at CA, the worship pastor there, Lord. We continue to speak healing over his body, Lord, over his vocal cords, his lungs, Lord, and everything, Lord, that is affected during this time, Lord. We bless Riverside Community Church as well, Lord. Bless Pastor Terry and Ingrid and Pastor Derek and Amber and the team there, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. And now would you just pray for me? Pray that I would bring the word to you. Pray that the Lord would speak through me. Yeah. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for that. I felt the prayers. I felt the genuine prayers this morning from you, so thank you. Today I want to share a message that is a message for all year, but a message specifically to focus on in this season. As we have lit the Advent candle, this is the candle of hope. The candle of hope is also called the prophecy candle. The reason it's called the prophecy candle is because the Advent, which is celebrating the coming of Jesus, there was a great hope in looking forward from the Old Testament to the birth of Jesus. But we also celebrate Advent to celebrate that Jesus is coming again. Amen? And so we light this candle to remember that Jesus has come, and our hope is in Christ, but also that we hope that he will come again for us. And so this morning, I'm going to share a message called A Candle in the Dark. A Candle in the Dark. Just this week, we were sitting at home, and all of a sudden, the power went out in our home. And we looked out, actually, sorry, we heard a loud bang, and then the power went out in our house. I looked out the front window. I didn't see anything, so I went down to the road. And what happened was, this is a truck, a flatbed truck, was turning the corner near our house, and the trailer actually went up onto the concrete barrier and took out the telephone pole, like the power pole, like cut it right in half. And it was now laying in the street. So I went out, and I don't know how many volts are going through this wire, and I'm getting quite close to it because I want to see what happened. And then my wife, of course, is screaming from a distance, don't go near it, don't go near it, you're going to die, or something like that. She probably said it. And of course, I wanted to get really close to it, but then she reminded me that the ground could be charged, and so I might not be standing here today. So thank you, Sonia, for that. That was good. But what happened was, one clap, thank you, whoever that was. I mean, somebody wants me up here. That's great. Hey, I'll take one. I'll take one. That's good. Let's work with the one. You know, and the power went out, right? And so it was daytime. And of course, you don't really notice it as much other than the internet being down. But, you know, as night creeps in and you still don't have power, it takes about 10 to 12 hours to replace a power pole. So night set in. It was cool. And we had to light the candles in the house. And what's amazing about candles when the power goes out is obviously we don't like the power being out, but gazing at a candle, there's something that something mesmerizing. Going to change to handheld. That's really good. I actually, when I first looked at that, I didn't see going to change to handheld. I actually saw going and then held, going to held. So that's good that we clarified that. Just give me one moment. You know, I didn't have much time for this sermon, so I'm just gonna keep preaching here. Our main point this morning is prophecy is a candle in the dark. It is both hope for tomorrow and practical for today. Amen, amen, amen. That's good. That's good. Back in the day, they used to have, wireless mics that they would literally be this kind of microphone that they would just hang on a necklace from there. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but it's quite funny. That'll be my only detour of the sermon, I promise. What is prophecy, though? What is prophecy? It's a big word, and sometimes it's intimidating, and we hear it, and we think about it sometimes, but it's a big word, so I want to break it down into simple terms. Prophecy is simply messages from God for humanity. He speaks to people about what is on his heart. He shares his thoughts with humanity. When I think about a candle in the dark and I think about the flicker of the flame that I personally find mesmerizing, we light candles at birthday celebrations. We light candles over a romantic meal. We light candles when the power goes out. We light candles around Christmas time. And there's something about the way that a flame dances in the night. It flickers in the darkness that I gaze at and I'm mesmerized by. And I don't know if you're like me, but I could stare at a flame and the flicker of that flame for a long time. There's just something about the way it moves that it actually changes the atmosphere. There's something about a light in the darkness that changes the atmosphere that provides for us a hope. It provides a peace. It provides joy. It provides this feeling like God is present or he is with me in this moment. Sometimes we light a candle during prayer and we're able to focus on his presence. Prophecy is simply God thoughts. And God thoughts are good thoughts. And good thoughts are hopeful. God's thoughts are hopeful thoughts. God has something to say each and every day. I woke up this morning and I said to the Lord, Lord, what do you want to say to me today? And he said, Joel, wake up and enjoy me today. It's simple. But sometimes in the busyness of Christmas, I know what he's saying to me, for me, right? And to you, it might mean nothing. You're like, yeah, you should enjoy God every day. Come on. But to me, when he says, Joel, wake up and enjoy me today, I know what he means. I know that throughout my life during the Christmas season, as a pastor and a father and a husband and family things and this thing, I know what he means to me, because when he says, Joel, enjoy me today, immediately what comes to mind for me is all the things that I can be distracted by or weighed down by, and I can lose Jesus at Christmas time. You ever lose Jesus at Christmas time? You ever, like, you're going ahead to the, nobody? Okay, just me. But you're going ahead into the season, and it's all about Jesus, and you hear about Jesus, and you sing about Jesus, and you get to Christmas Eve, and you're like, silent night, that would be nice. Holy night, that would be nice. Lord, where are you? And he said, Joel, wake up and enjoy me today. Thoughts in your mind that aren't good aren't God. The foundation of prophecy is hope. Is hope. Back in 2003, I was sitting in a service on a Sunday evening, and I was just worshiping the Lord, and the pastor was up at the front. This is at a church in New York. And I was sitting kind of in a middle section, and I was sitting about where Claudia is there. And the pastor said, Joel, where are you? And I, you know, it was about, I don't know, 500 people. And so I put up my hand, and he said, stand. And so I stood, and he said, step out into the aisle. And I said, okay, a little awkward. I didn't know what this was. I never saw it before. But he said, Joel, the Lord is calling you to be a prophet to the nations. And I said, prophet, that's awesome. I love money. I said, I don't know what a prophet is. Actually, in that moment when he said, Joel, I'm calling you to be a prophet to the nations, my first thought was, who am I? I'm so young. I don't know anything. I didn't know the story of Jeremiah. I didn't know that this came from the first chapter of Jeremiah, where God called Jeremiah, and he said, I'm calling you to be a prophet to the nations. And Jeremiah's first thought, you know what it was? He said, I'm only a child. I don't know how to speak. And God said to him, open your mouth, Jeremiah, and I will fill it with words. In other words, Jeremiah doesn't have to come up with the words. He just has to obey. This is what prophecy is, where we open up our mouths and God fills it. Now, that was back in 2003. I graduated university in 2004. We went on to be married in 2005. We went on to have children in 2008. I went into construction management. I was involved in ministry, but ministry was not what I thought it would be. You see, in 2003, I was already planning that I was going to pastor like some mega church. I'm sorry, that's just what I thought. I thought I would leave university and there was some church waiting for me, and I'd step into this ministry position, and like pie in the sky ideas when you're young and prideful. And I thought I would leave university and immediately I would be in this position. But that's not always. How many know that God's plan for your life is clear to him but not clear to you? How many know that God's plan in your life is not always a straight line? It can detour, it can move left and right when you don't expect it. And for me, that's what this was. And so I remember in 2004 and 2005, in these early years, I was upset because I didn't think that I was supposed to be in construction. I thought I was supposed to be pastoring. And then God showed me in about, I don't know, 2008, 2009, I want you to pastor in the construction industry. And so I remember going to work each day, like, Lord, what do you want? How do you want me to do this? Like, and I would start to pray for people in my office. I mean, not out loud to them, of course. That's ridiculous. In my office, I would pray for them. And then the Lord began showing me, Joel, I want more for these people. I want you to encourage them. I want you to say something kind and encouraging. And so I began to practice that in my own life. And the Lord said, Joel, I want you to do even more. I want you to actually give them my thoughts and my words. And he would start to speak to me for coworkers. And I wasn't always obedient, but I was beginning to step into this promise of God over my life that I would be a prophet to the nations, but I still was not in ministry. And 8 years in, 9 years in, do you know what the Lord reminded me of? He kept saying to me over and over and over and over and over again, remember the word in 2003. Remember that I have called you, Joel, to be a prophet to the nations. But Lord, it's different from what I think it should be. Remember the word I gave you. I don't want to do this anymore. Remember the word I gave you. And you know what that word became for me? That word for me became a candle in the dark. That word for me illuminated something that kept me hopeful, resilient, tenacious. It sustained me. You see, prophecy is hope. Let's go to our first point. I won't get through my entire message. That's okay, I'll get through his whole message this morning. We're gonna go back 600 years or so, depending on when you think the book of Isaiah was written. And this is prophecy as hope for a new king and a new kingdom, actually. About 600 years before Jesus was born in the time of Isaiah, the people of God are recently been in captivity from the Babylonians. In 586, the Babylonians came in and they conquered Jerusalem. And they took the people into exile for 70 years. But in 538 BC, Persia would conquer Babylon, and Persia would actually allow the Jewish people to begin returning to Jerusalem. So Persia was good for the Israelites. How many Iranians do we have here? Thank you. Thank you. It was the Persians that allowed them to begin to return. All right. Thank you. Yes, give them, yeah, it's awesome. But when the people of God returned, there was no temple. When the people of God returned, the city walls were broken down. Can you imagine if you showed up to church this morning and there was no church? It was just leveled. You'd probably just go to another church, right? But imagine there was no churches anywhere because that was the temple. It was the temple. And God's people would return. And in the context of this, Isaiah 60 is written. Now, Isaiah 60 is both speaking of current circumstances in the near future, and Isaiah 60 is also speaking about things in the far future, which I'll get to in a moment. The prophet Isaiah writes this, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn." You know, we read that and we're like, yeah, well, the nation of Israel was always God's people, so they were always this bright light. But understanding the context that they're returning to a city that isn't secure. They're returning to a temple that doesn't exist. They're returning to great darkness. They're returning to what some would call hopelessness. And God says, in the middle of this darkness, I'm going to light a candle. And Israel, you're the candle. And then he says, and people will come to this light. People that are living in darkness will be drawn to your light, Israel. And nations would be blessed by Israel. Now, this is a word for the people in the mid 6th century BC, but it's also a picture of Christ. because they're looking forward to the Messiah. They're looking forward when their King of Kings would be born. They're looking forward to, as Isaiah put it, their wonderful counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace, everlasting Father would come. They're looking forward to the incarnation of God in human form. And Matthew chapter 4 talks about this. Jesus has been born, Jesus has been raised, and Jesus is going into ministry. It says, "Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light." Does this sound familiar? "The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." Who's the light? Jesus is the light. Jesus is God-man. He is the light of the world in human form. When Jesus steps on to the planet, when Jesus is born, when Jesus is laid in that manger, it is a candle in the dark. They would not have to wait for the Messiah to come any longer. Jesus would be this flame, this light. And when Jesus was born, King Herod was obviously worried because he liked to be the light. And what did Herod want to do to that light? I won't do it. Just for the traditionalists. He wanted to snuff out that light. Do not let people or circumstances or any other lie snuff out your light. From that time on, Jesus, the light of the world that walked the earth, began to preach. Can you imagine if Jesus came up here and preached? This is what Jesus preached. What's the light of the world that Jesus would preach? What is the very thing that Jesus was going to draw all men and women and children unto himself with? What is the kingdom message that Jesus is going to preach? That Jesus preaches, repent. Turn from, metanoia. For the kingdom of heaven has come near. This is the fulfillment. The fulfillment is that Jesus, this candle in the darkness that would be born, that is the light of the world, the message he would preach was the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is here. The kingdom of God is near. It's at hand. It means it's at hand. A great light has come. The Messiah has come. I believe that sometimes we can focus on the darkness, not realizing that there is a light, not realizing that there is hope in the darkness, not realizing that there is Christ in the process. Prophecy is not only speaking of a kingdom which can kind of seem sometimes ethereal and out of reach and beyond my comprehension. Like, what does it mean, the kingdom of heaven? Like, where is it? I don't see it. It's in our hearts, but how do I know that it exists? It's a spiritual kingdom that exists all around us. That can seem sometimes a little bit beyond us. So I want to make it practical this morning. Is that okay? Prophecy is practical. I shared this last week, but I want to share it again. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. This is the early church. The early church would be filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit would light the church on fire on the day of Pentecost. In fact, the Lord showed me that as the Spirit came down and rested upon each person's head, each one of those people, each one of the early church became a candle. Each one of the early church were lit with a flame. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And I always celebrate this, and I love this because I see an empowered church. And the early church saw signs, and they saw wonders, and they saw miracles, and they saw supernatural things. And I believe all of these things are available to us today. But for this message, I was drawn to these verses in verse 42 to 47 of chapter 2. Because this is also what the flame lit. This is also what the early church was. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. To the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The result of a Spirit-filled church was not just prayer and worship and preaching. This is what I love doing the most. I love prayer, I love worship, and I do enjoy hearing preaching, and I like preaching. But that was not all the early church did. The early church also, in between those things, the apostles' teaching, and fellowship. To the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed. It says all the believers were together. Everybody say together. Together. And everything. Say everything in common. See, they were together and they had everything in common. In other words, the early church did not just come to consume. The early church didn't come just to receive. The early church would come with things that they were going to bring. And they would bring it into the church. And I imagine it went something like this. They brought it into the church and they had a pile, kind of like we do out in the lobby, of all the non-perishables. And they had, okay, what does everybody need this morning? And they began to distribute it so that no one was in need. The early church had this feeling like if one was in need, we're all in need. Last week, I was standing at the door, and I shared the first half of the story last week. I was standing at the door and welcoming people, and I noticed that people started to bring in the non-perishable goods, right? Cans, pasta, other non-perishables. We began stacking it up, but I began to see this kind of picture in my mind, which seemed both physical but also spiritual. It was practical, but it was also prophetic. The reason I think it was practical and prophetic is because as this food came in, I thought, you know, there's somebody that's going to receive that. There's somebody who's going to be blessed by that. And then one of our congregation members came in and she said, Joel, I have a 42-inch TV that I would like to give to someone. I'm like, wow, the non-perishable foods are getting bigger. This is great. You know what I thought? I wonder who that's for. Then just before I came in to enjoy worship and the message, somebody pulled me aside and they said, Joel, listen, I woke up this morning and the Lord had me go to the bank and take out money for someone for rent. And they came to church with an envelope of cash. So I took it, I put it in my pocket, and I spent it. No, I didn't. Of course not. Of course not. I didn't even take it. I never touched it because I just have a thing about that. So I said, well, you know what? Pray over it. Pray over it and see if the Lord brings someone to you. I mentioned it in the service. Nobody responded in the service, which I kind of expected. But after the service, somebody came forward. And they brought a friend to church that day. And that friend they brought to church was in great need. That friend that they brought to church needed money for rent. So I put the two together. I said, A, meet B. Somebody else came forward after the service and they said, Joel, whoever the family is that responds to the need of needing rent, I would like to buy them Christmas gifts. So this week, they bought Christmas gifts for the family. And I began to realize what would happen if that person who woke up on that Sunday morning felt, heard, sensed from God something and just said, nah, can't be. Or, I don't want to. You see, this is practical prophecy that if not for the first step of obedience, we would not have that entire testimony to share. I believe that God is moving us as a church to be a prophetic church in the sense that we wake up every Sunday or whenever we're coming to this place, to this community, saying, Lord, what it is that do you want from me today for someone? How can I bless somebody today? How can I encourage somebody today? Maybe it's not rent money or a TV or, but maybe it's not that, but maybe it's a word. Maybe it's a smile. Maybe it's a hug. Maybe we would wake up and come to church with the understanding of, Lord, what am I coming to bring? In other words, I bring myself, Romans says, as a living sacrifice. That my life would be worship. Not a part of my life is worship, but my life is worship. My life is to be used by God for his kingdom and for his glory. Lastly, I have to say this, and then we will have our time of communion. Prophecy is positive. Everyone say positive.
Positive.
Yes. How many of you thought before I said that prophecy is judgmental and usually negative? Maybe you don't want to raise your hand. Yes. I think sometimes what prophecy has become is things like, and I won't get into all my examples today, but things like, San Francisco has an earthquake, and the first thing that people do is they say, that was God. That was God judging them for their sins, right? Prophecy's gotten this bad name, but prophecy is positive. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 says, follow the way of love and earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. So prophecy is the way of Let's try that again. Rose, I might need your help on this one. I might need Rose's encouragement. Prophecy is the way of
love.
Oh, that's good. Paul says even more. He says, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. These are the ways that I believe God wants to speak to our church and through our church. And when I say this is the way that I think that God wants to speak to and through our church, I don't mean myself. When I say the word church, do you know who I'm talking about? All of you. Did you know that you were created to hear God's voice? Did you know that you were created in the image of God? You were created with capacity to hear. You were created to respond to God. Every single person that walks this earth was created with capacity to hear. The reason they're created with capacity to hear is so they can respond when He calls. You cannot become a Christian if you do not hear the Lord's voice. Because the Bible says, not Joel, the Bible says that He will draw all men, women, children to Himself. That drawing is His calling. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, but I don't hear God. Well, He created you to hear the knocking. He created us to be a church that hears Him. And maybe it's not bringing rent money. Maybe it's not bringing a TV. Maybe it's not something big, but maybe it's a hello. Maybe it's a smile. Maybe it's a hug. Maybe it's something that flows from an awareness that God wants to speak to me for someone else. This morning, I believe that God wants to fan into flame this gift of God in us. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up, and Greg Baker, one of our council members, and just an all-around great guy, is going to be leading us in communion. Oh, man, Greg clapped for himself. I was like, I said, bro got like just as many claps as I did. That's awesome, yeah. Let me just pray for you, though. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, I see you, God, and I hear you, Lord, and I see the people before me now. And I see them, Lord, as candles. I see them, Lord, with gifts to bring. I see them, Lord, with potential, purpose. And I pray this morning you would fan into flame the gift of God that is in them. Fan it into flame, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. One more thing I wanted to show you, because it's just been a week of people bringing things. And we had a painting made for our volunteers and our staff. You don't have to raise your hand if you painted this, but I love it. So, but this is what this took, is somebody sitting down with a blank canvas and saying, Lord, what do you want for them? And look at this. I mean, I can't even paint by number. But I share this to say, you don't have to paint. You don't have to bring money for rent. You don't have to bring a TV. But each one of us has something to bring. Because if I was up here and I held up something that you brought, that would bless somebody. As we share communion, let's continue to focus on that. And I'll invite Greg to come up to lead us.